Bibles, please, to Hosea chapter 7. Verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. When I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered, and the wickedness of Samaria. For they commit falsehood, and the thief cometh in, and the troop of robbers spoileth without. And they consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about. They are before my face. They make the king glad with their wickedness, and the princes with their lies. They are all adulterers, as an oven heated by the baker, who ceaseth from raising after he hath kneaded the dough till it be leavened. In the day of our king, the princes have made him sick with bottles of wine. He stretched out his hand with scorners. For they have made ready their heart like an oven, whilst they lie in wait. Their baker sleepeth all the night. In the morning it burneth as a flaming fire. They are all hot as an oven, and have devoured their judges. All their kings are fallen. There is none among them that calleth unto me. Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth not. And the pride of Israel testifieth to his face, and they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this. Ephraim also is like a silly dove without heart. They call to Egypt. They go to Assyria. When they shall go, I will spread my net upon them. I will bring them down as the fowls of the heaven. I will chastise them as their congregation hath heard. Woe unto them, for they have fled from me. Destruction unto them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I have redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against me. And they have not cried unto me with their heart when they howled upon their beds. They assemble themselves for corn and wine, and they rebel against me. Though I have bound and strengthened their arms, yet do they imagine mischief against me. They return, but not to the Most High. They are like a deceitful bow. Their princes shall fall by the sword for the rage of their tongue. This shall be their derision in the land of Egypt. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. So Hosea chapter 7 begins once again with a statement of mercy. As chapter 6 began with mercy, so 7 begins with mercy. When I would have healed Israel, when the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered, and the wickedness of Samaria, for they commit falsehood, the thief cometh in, and the troop of robbers spoileth without. When is it that God would have them repent? As soon as he discovered their difficulties, as soon as he discovered their sins. I think what is to be understood here is God is not saying, okay, give me a few minutes to cool down. As soon as their iniquity was discovered, what do they find? They find a God ready to forgive, ready to heal. And this is what we know about our God. He's not given to fits of, hey, I just need to cool down here. Nothing like that. It's not how it is with him. His love is everlasting. His mercy, all of his attributes are all there all the time, right? They're all there all the time. He doesn't, although there are what we call revelational values that God sometimes reveals anger, sometimes reveals mercy, sometimes reveals this or reveals that. We know, don't we, that God is not changing. He's simply changing what he reveals about himself. All of his attributes are all there all the time. He's not saying, give me a minute here so I can collect myself, right? when I would have healed Israel was the time when they were found out as sinners. That's the important point to remember here. And so we have, once again, an opportunity for repentance. All right, so they do not consider in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. That's the other thing that we have to learn about. We must remember that everything we do is, as the ancients said, coram Deo, in the face of God, before His presence. Whatever it is that we do it all in His presence. There is nothing that gets by Him. Everything is seen. He knows all. He sees all. He considers all. It is ourselves who forget to consider. So notice what he says. They do not consider in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. This should be an inducement to repent. But instead we put it away from ourselves and we don't think of ourselves as particularly guilty. God says, I don't indulge myself in such fantasies as that. I don't indulge myself in such deception as that. So we must learn to think in the way the Lord thinks on this. They consider not, right, that they are before my face. Then in verses 3, 4, 5, let's take 3, 4, and 5 together for a moment here. We see that the king's princes are not doing him any good at all. This is important. It's important for us to remember and to think about whenever rulers have advisors around them, lesser magistrates around them, cabinet members, we would say in our society, the secretaries of various departments that our president has. But this obtains also like the county judge with his other commissioners. It could be at any level. The advisors and counselors to the one supreme magistrate ought to do him good. They ought to tell him what is true. They ought to build him up in righteousness. But notice what these princes are doing here. They're making the king indulgent. They're making him drunk. They are giving him everything that he wants, in other words. The drunkenness, it's not to be interpreted literally, although it may include that, but it is with a host of other things whereby the princes of Israel, the northern kingdom, have become the sycophants of the king, right? The yes men of the king, giving him anything he wants rather than telling him, don't you know that this will bring our nation to ruin? This is what they ought to be doing, but they're not. Instead of that, they are, quote, heating themselves up like an oven. They're like bread that you put near the oven to rise, and you forget it, and so it rises and bakes and blows up all by itself, right? Because it wasn't tended to. They are like the oven that concentrates the heat rather than the open pit that dissipates the heat. So they are indeed feeding off of one another's heat and indulgence, and they are not calling each other to account, whereas that's what they ought to be doing, but instead they are like the oven that burns all night long, goes out of control, and burns itself down. And that's exactly how Hosea says it here. It's the oven that brings itself to rubble, right? Even in those old earthen or stone ovens that were made, you couldn't let the fire rage out of control because it would eventually bring it down to rubble. I know that rock doesn't burn. It doesn't burn in that way. That's correct. But it does dissolve. It does come apart. It will go to rubble if the fire is allowed to burn uncontrollably. And that's what they had done. And this oven then is emblematic of the northern kingdom. It is burning uncontrollably. And so it will indeed burn all night long and bring itself to ruin. Then the Lord uses another metaphor. He describes Ephraim as a cake not turned. A cake not turned. I know, children, you like pancakes. I like them too. Pancakes are good. We like pancakes. So think of a griddle that is heated up to super, super hot. And you put the pancake on there and it's burned on one side and raw on the other. Would that be a good pancake? No. No, it's not good for anything. It's burned on the one side, raw on the other. It's mingled among the people. Ephraim has mingled himself with the people of the land. There are two incompatible things brought together, and so they're worthy of nothing. That's what he means there. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Then notice also, strangers have devoured his strength. He knoweth it not. Yet gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth not. And what that means is that here's what you've done, Ephraim, in that you have mingled yourself among the people, turned away from the Lord your God. You've weakened yourself such that you're growing gray. The signs of age and weakness are upon you, and you don't even see it. You don't even see it. Why? Because you have the approval of all the nations around you. You've heard them and not the Lord, and so all the signs of judgment are upon you, but you have not hearkened. The pride of Israel testifieth to his face, and they do not return to the Lord their God nor seek him for all this. That takes us down through verse 10. Then another accusation. Ephraim is like a silly dove without heart. A silly dove, one that flies here and there with no sure home. Now, dove are not particularly like that normally. They're normally fairly regular in their habits. If you've had a dove that has nested at your house, generally that same dove will come back and nest the next year at the house as well, right? Okay, but this is a silly dove. Notice what he says. It's a silly dove, and what does it do? Hey, I'll go to Egypt. Hey, I'll go to Assyria. Everywhere except home. A silly dove without heart is what he calls them. But when they go, I will spread my net upon them, and I will bring them down as the fowls of the heaven, and I will chastise them as their congregation hath heard. So then the rest of the passage is their continued departure from the Lord, spoken by the prophet. There is no repentance yet for Ephraim in this chapter. They've fled before me, destruction unto them. They've transgressed against me, though I have redeemed them, right? Though I brought them out of Egypt. They've spoken lies against me. They've not cried unto me, notice, with their heart, when they howled upon their beds and they assemble themselves for corn and wine and they rebel against me. They're calling out to everybody but the Lord, in other words. It's all rebellion. Though I have not bound any... Though I have bound and strengthened their arms, yet they do imagine mischief against me. All the gifts I've given them, they use it against me. And then finally the chapter ends with, they return all right, but not to the Most High. They're like a deceitful bow. What's a deceitful bow? You draw it back and you shoot and the arrow goes, like that, right? It's like a deceitful bow. Their princes shall fall by the sword for the rage of their tongue. This shall be their derision in Egypt. That's how the chapter ends. So there is a lot of chastisement that comes on the northern kingdom in this chapter. There are a number of things said about the people of God, that they are unstable, seeking out other suitors, other gods, other sources of supply, other sources of wisdom than the Lord, right? They have cast themselves everywhere except upon the Lord. And so they will indeed suffer those judgments. Thus ends the reading then of Hosea chapter 7. Let's